Most of us, if not all of us adults, have signed a contract of some sort, whether that contract was for a house, a car, or some service like utilities. Did you read every word? Nah, I doubt it. Every agreement states what both sides will do and are responsible for in the matter. Just the other day, doing something online, I had to sign a terms of agreement. I scrolled down, and I finally got to the yes, okay, and clicked it and said yes to it. I didn't read any of it, hardly. But now if something happens, I'm on the hook. Because I said I read it. But so is the other party. So in a legal sense, it does not matter if I've read the document or not, because I said I did. And I'm expected to live as if I did. Last week, we looked at Isaiah 30, our side of the terms of agreement. The Lord requires that we show him respect. The problem is we tend to show how much disrespect we have toward him by our refusal to listen. Too many have no respect for the Bible, God's word to and for us. This morning we're going to look at the other side of the agreement, his side. God's great love for every person of every nation and tongue should cause us to have a single-minded devotion to him. It's the terms of the agreement. We're back in Isaiah 30. We're going to look at verses 18 through 26. Isaiah chapter 30. We pick up at verse 18. Therefore, the Lord longs to be gracious to you, and therefore he waits on high to have compassion on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. How blessed are all those who long for him. O people in Zion, inhabitant in Jerusalem, you will weep no longer. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. Although the Lord has given you bread of privation and water of oppression, he, your teacher, will no longer hide himself, but your eyes will behold your teacher. Your ears will hear a word behind you. This is the way, walk in it, whenever you turn to the right or to the left. And you will defile your graven images overlaid with silver, and your molten images plated with gold. You will scatter them as an impure thing and say to them, be gone. Then he will give you rain for the seed which you sow in the ground, and bread from the yield of the ground, and it will be rich and plenteous. On that day your livestock will graze in a roomy pasture. Also the oxen and the donkeys which work the ground will eat salted fodder, which has been winnowed with shovel and fork. On every lofty mountain and on every high hill there will be streams running with water on the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. The light of the moon will be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun will be seven times brighter like the light of 7 days on the day the Lord binds up the fracture of his people and heals the bruise he has inflicted. We looked last week at our side. We look this week at his side. The first term of the agreement is God waits to have compassion on you. Jesus loves you. Do you realize that? Do you understand that? I hope that's not the first time you've ever heard that. But Jesus loves you. The Lord longs to be gracious to you. This is what he desires. He longs for it. He wants this badly. He longs for this so much that he waits for you to return to him. He waits to have compassion on you. He will not pour out his blessings on a stubborn, rebellious people, though. And maybe that's a good description of who we are. Not just as a nation, not just as a state or even a town, not even a church. I'm talking about the person in your clothes this morning. Maybe this is a description of you, that you're a stubborn, rebellious person. He is a God of justice. And His verdict has come down on sin. It has come down on rebellion. It has also come down on obedience. He is against sin and rebellion, but He welcomes obedience. So for us, we need to be obedient. He is waiting to have compassion on us, on you. So my question again is what is your view of Scripture? Are you living a life of obedience because you embrace what Scripture says and says, this is what God says? Or are you living a life of disobedience because He said, well, you know, this is 2018 and He didn't really mean that. Or He didn't understand. Oh, you don't think He understands? He waits to have compassion on you. Even though your behavior, your choices have warranted destruction, total destruction. Remember the analogy of verse 14? We didn't read it this morning, but He said, this is how bad things are going to be. He said, it's going to be like a wall that falls down on you because just all of a sudden it was there and now it's all of a sudden on you. He said, and when that wall falls, it's going to be like the pottery that was under it. What they would do when a jar would break is that they would go get whatever usable piece there was. He said, there's not even going to be a usable piece left. The destruction is going to be so thorough. And our disrespect of Him and His word justifies the shattering of individuals and this nation. If I've heard my dad say this once, I've probably heard him say it at least 100 times. He said, you know, most nations in history only last about 200 years. And we're what, 200 and, let me do the math real quick, 43, 44 years? But do you as an American have the perception or the idea that that can't happen to us? Yes, it can. And we very well may be living in the day that when it will. I'm challenging you as a church. I'm challenging you as an individual to come back to the God who is waiting to have compassion on you. God is waiting for you to cry out to Him for His help, for His salvation. And when He cries out to you, He will answer you. So wait for Him, long for Him. God waits to have compassion on you. A man by the name of Richard Hopper was one of my ninth grade football coaches. He was also the ninth grade shop teacher that I had one semester. One day during football season, he and the other coaches says, now boys, this is what we want you to do. And whatever it was, we didn't all do it. Another young man and I were caught in the locker room, and I don't know if it was hurry up and get out of here. I don't remember what it was, but Coach Hopper came in with his paddle. Now, that was back in the day that you didn't have to call home and all that stuff. Oh, boy, we were in for it. Coach Hopper was not the biggest man in the world, but as I recall, I saw him lift a young man, other young men, up off the floor with that paddle, and I thought, oh, man, we're in for it. Oh. And he did the most amazing thing. He turned his foot up, just so you can see what I'm saying. He turned his foot up and took that paddle and bam! Everybody outside the locker room thought we had had it. But he had compassion on us. He took punishment, that punishment on himself. And Jesus has done the same thing. Although the punishment due us was infinitely greater than that episode in the locker room, Jesus has done the same thing. Have you gotten to the point that you realize your brokenness before God? It amazes me how the human mind, the human will, can justify things. What's the old saying? If you're looking for an excuse, any will do. It amazes me what the human mind can rationalize and justify. Instead of waiting for the Lord, we take things into our own hands, which means we go about things all wrong because we go about them in ways that are not of the Lord. So are you crying out to the Lord for His answers, His deliverance? Are you in His Word where the answers are? If you are waiting, are you willing to wait? Are you devoted to the Lord? That is the first term of agreement. The second term of agreement is God gives understanding of His ways. Jesus loves you. Do you know that? God did what it took to get the people's attention. He gave them adversity. The word in New American Standard is privation. He gave them adversity to eat and oppression to drink. God will do whatever it takes to get your attention. So what will it take to get your attention? What will it take to get the attention of this nation? Once He has your attention, He will then begin to work, to teach, to show Himself. Your ears, the ears of your heart, will begin to hear when He has gotten your attention. And once you give the Lord your attention, your willingness to obey, He will guide your life. God gives understanding of His ways. He will whisper into your ear the way you should go, the way you should live. There will be a voice, and that obedience will lead then to the tearing down of the idols in your life. Isaiah told the people they would tear down their idols, even the important ones. But we have to hear God's voice and then respond. Because God needs to give us understanding of His ways. I was in a meeting Friday where the phenomenon I know that I have shared with you was shown again. It was not done as professionally as I saw it done the first time, but here was the scenario. The man who was leading the meeting said, "Now I'm going to show a video. And in the video, there's going to be a group of a team in black jerseys and a team in white jerseys. What you're to do is count the number of times they pass the basketball between themselves." The white team is all he said. "Count the number of passes the white team makes." Well, I knew what was coming, and sure enough, 4 or 5 seconds after the video started, and here they're running around and they're passing the ball back and forth, sure enough, out from the side comes a man in a gorilla suit. And in just to make the point, he turns and beats on his chest and then goes out the other way. After that was over, the man leading the meeting said, "How many of you saw the man in the gorilla suit?" About half the people did not. About half the people did not, because their attention was elsewhere. This morning, where is your attention? I was reminded of a quote I came across from G.K. Chesterton, who said that Christianity has not been tried and found wanting, it was found difficult and left untried. The world's attention, your attention, is short-lived. And the world and you want things now, and you want things easy. And the things of the Lord are not always immediate nor easy, but they work. This morning, does the Lord have your attention? Listen, I don't know why you're here. I don't know why you're here. Did you come today to hear a word from the Lord? To get some understanding, a better understanding of who He is and how He wants you to live your life? Are you listening? And did you notice how it's written there in that verse that the voice will come from behind you? Have you ever realized how good of a lip reader you are? Because sometimes when people are behind us, we don't hear it. We may hear noise, but we don't understand the words. It's when we focus on those words, and that's what the picture is in this verse, in this passage. That his voice will come from behind you. I mentioned last week how the media is pushing homosexuality and transgenderism. Parents, be careful. Be careful what books your kids are reading. This morning, are you devoted to the Lord? If you are not in God's Word, you are not listening. And I ask you, I challenge you to listen, to understand His ways. Are you devoted to the Lord? Pick a verse. Pick a verse and meditate on it. Pray it back to the Lord. The one that the Lord showed me a couple days ago, may have been last week, and I'm still trying to understand it. I'm still trying to get all of what God is saying to me, us in it. It's Psalm 84:11. Says that he is a sun and a shield to us. Well, I understand the shield part. A shield is for protection. But what exactly does he mean when he says that he is a sun and a shield? Well, what does the sun do? It does two things, as best I can understand. One is it causes things to grow, to develop. But the second is that it gives us direction. God is a sun and a shield to us. As he continues to speak, tear down the idols in your life. There is a multitude that competes with the time and attention you should give him. Are you paying attention to his voice? Are you understanding his ways? Are there any idols needing tearing down? That's the second term of agreement. The third term of agreement is, after he has your attention, he will bless you. Jesus loves you. Notice where the promise of blessing comes. It comes after the description of what the Lord wants to do and has to do to get our attention. We want the blessing first, as if we have some means of negotiating. The idols in life must be torn down before he can bless us. And part of why that is because God does not want any of us to think that it's the idols, those that we're worshiping, those things other than him that we're worshiping, that has provided the blessing. So he says, tear down the idols and then I will bless you. And so the idols must go first. He says the rain would come to make the plants grow. Bread would come from the harvest. Livestock would graze in roomy pastures. Water would flow abundantly. Wounds would be healed. Healing would take place. All this after the people's attention has been directed to the Lord. For the last couple of years, I have subscribed to a magazine called Family Handyman. There's a whole lot I gotta learn, let me tell you. One of the old issues laying around has an article giving 11 tips about how to work with a type of wood product board. Some of us would say, well, I have a saw. I know how to turn the saw on. I'm just going to use it. Disaster. disaster. So maybe what we need to do is be more worried about how to listen. That's exactly how we humans look at the Lord's instructions. I know what I'm doing when we don't have a clue. Today is Sanctity of Life Sunday. Since 1973, some 59 million abortions that we know of that happen before the morning after pill. 59 million people killed. Now, I would say to you, what difference does 6 inches make? If the baby's in the womb, our law says you can do whatever you want. But if they're 6 inches outside the womb, you can't. What difference does 6 inches make? There very well may be some ladies here today who have had an abortion. Can I say to you that Jesus loves you? He is ready to forgive you. There may be one of two idols you need to tear down. One may be that God will not or cannot forgive you for such a thing. He will and He can. The second idea may be that it was your body. You had the right. You did not. That notion has become an idol. There may be other things going on in your life that have become idols as well. Are you willing to get rid of them? Are you willing to tear them down? Remember, an idol is not necessarily a little statue. It is anything that you have put in the Lord's place. These are the terms of agreement. God is waiting for you. Jesus has died to pay the penalty you owe. He will give you understanding of His ways. He will. Does He have your attention? If so, He will bless you. He's waiting this morning. How will you respond?